This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Creams and serums are made of 70% water, 15% preservatives and emulsifiers, leaving only around 15%. For the active ingredients that your skin needs. But luckily now, there's Fiber Skincare.
15 years ago, the scientists behind Fiber Skincare started working on nanofibers, which are 500 times smaller than human hair. You know, I saw that in 3 Body Problem. Mm. 1 year ago, they patented a way of wrapping the nanofiber around oil or liquid-based ingredients. This means they can deliver 5 times the active ingredients compared to creams or serums, as there is no need for water, preservatives, or emulsifiers.
The first formulation made with this technology is plant-based, anti-wrinkle. It's a set of patches that you use over a series of 7 days. You just put these on whenever you would apply your serums, and your skin is going to feel tighter in 10 seconds. And over the 7-day program, it has been clinically proven to reduce wrinkles by, get this, 19.4%, a very precise percentage. In fact, they have a tighter skin guarantee. If your skin isn't tighter in 7 days, they're going to give you your money back, no questions asked.
You get the tighter skin guarantee with this 7-day routine. Tighter skin or your money back. Get a 15% discount code by using the discount code GAME. That's Fiber Skincare.
It's the Game of Roses. Welcome to the Game of Roses. This is the Game of Roses. Welcome to the Game of Roses.
Welcome to Game of Roses. This is Pace Case.
This is Bachelor Clues. And if you liked our first episode of 10 Questions Submitted Through the Pit, you're going to love our second episode of 10 More Questions Submitted Through the Pit.
10 More Questions Submitted Through the Pit. Strikes back. Returns. Strikes
back. You know, Return of the Jedi was originally called Revenge of the Jedi?
To me, those are pretty interchangeable, I guess.
A return or revenge? Hi, would you like to return to my home to seek revenge? Yes, similar.
But I guess I'm just a chill gal.
That's right. You don't have the vengeance of a Jedi.
My favorite was the, that was a classic Pace Case in the last one. Shop local.
Well, we hope we'll get another shop local out of Pace Case today. Thank you everyone for joining us in these holiday episodes where we're answering everybody's questions. We hope everybody out there is having a great holiday season with all your friends, all your family, all your loved ones, doing whatever you might be doing.
Clues, are you traveling? Going anywhere?
Might be doing a little mini move. Might be doing a mini move.
A mini move.
That's right.
Wowie.
Might be doing a little mini move, taking a little mini vacay.
You okay getting ready for a mini move?
Hell no, I hate it. That said, let's get to our first question. Are you ready, Pace Case?
I'm going to Minneapolis.
Oh, that's a major move.
It's a mini move.
It's going to be cold as hell. If you got to pack a coat.
I'm only packing long johns.
Oh my, you're not taking a coat?
Well, yeah, and a coat.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. You got to pack a coat.
They're just saying no normal clothing.
Pack a coat, major move. Pack a coat, major move. That's not a mini move. If you have to have an entire new suit of armor for the place you're going to, major move, in my opinion.
You can wear the coat on the plane.
Mini move is socks.
Tie it around your waist. Then it's just extra pockets.
If you got to have a...
I'm stuffing all those pockets.
That's only purpose is to keep you alive when you are outside of a building. That's a major move. Mini move is socks, underwear, t-shirts, pants, toiletries. Anything beyond that, major move.
I'm not arguing for the cold here. But a trip, I can handle it. Right, you just gotta have the right armor. Have you ever worn, you know, a little skiing onesie? So cozy.
Hate it. I've been in very cold places in my life. Hate them all, pal. All right, let's move on. This is our first question. Are you ready, Pace Case?
You get seasonal affective disorder?
I guess. I just have lived in LA so long. It's like, if it's outside of 68 to 72 degrees, it ain't for me. All right.
72 to 74 for me.
Oh, fair. Let's have our first question. Are you ready, Pace Case?
Yes. I hope that answers it.
Hello, Pace Case, Bachelor Clues, and Dark Seeker, aka the Holy Trinity. Congratulations on your infiltration of the Bachelor player pool. My question today is for Bachelor Clues. As we are all aware, you have coached many a player in our beloved game. But my question for you is, would you ever coach a Bachelor producer? I know the front lines of the Bachelor production are nigh impenetrable, but what if it was an inside job? In a theoretical reality where a glorified producer is willing to team up with the pit, would you take them on as one of your protégés? Thank you for your service, and praise be Dark Lord Palmer.
An interesting question.
There's your show.
How much of this can I answer? How much can I answer? What can I say here? This is a hard question to answer for a variety of reasons. I will simply say this. The influence of Gore extends beyond the player pool. I can say that much. How much it extends, to what degree, to what severity, I can't really say.
So this isn't even a hypothetical.
It is not a hypothetical. This has been a goal for a long time, to have more control over the show than simply sending players in. I can't tell you where I am in that goal, how far down that road I've gone.
Are you Mike Fleiss? You have to tell me if you're Mike Fleiss.
Yeah, I'm Mike Fleiss. I'm Mike Fleiss. I have extensive plastic surgery every 2 months to look like a completely different person. It's either I look like Clues or I look like Fleiss. If I was Mike Fleiss, I would tell you, okay. In subtle ways. Just every year for your birthday, I'd give you a broken diamond ring. Yeah, a new sparkler, broken engagement ring. It's a great question. It's an interesting question. And it is part of my set of goals to have ever increasing influence over our beloved game. And of course, that would require, as you put it, an inside job, a producer who is loyal to the show. We have seen in recent years a DLP sign in the fucking tell-all audience. That obviously doesn't happen without some producers being part of it. Yes. There has been a slow absorption of our terminology by producers. We now know that producers call the hooju a hooju. That is a term that we coined. They have absorbed it into their own lexicon. So we do have some influence over the game in that way. In terms of, like, you know, would I coach a producer in quotes? 100%. Absolutely. If there's a producer out there listening to this and you've got your next season of Bachelorette is going to go into production here in a few months after
toward the end.
Yeah, definitely have some ideas. We don't know what the fate of BIP is now. We know there are rumors. I believe Reality Steve has been reporting that it might be canceled next year. There may be no season 10.
Oh, my Dark Lord.
I know. If there is a season 10 coming up, you know, and you want some ideas about how to resurrect that show, how to bring it back to its former glory, we have those ideas, certainly. But yeah, this is a goal. I will say that much, and I can't tell you if I've achieved it or how close I've come to achieving it or how drastically I've achieved it or any of these things. I can't say those things, but definitely it's
how much plastic surgery I've had to achieve.
Yeah. That's why I'm getting plastic surgery, is to pretend to be a different person entirely, just in case they're watching our our videos and they know who I am. But no, it's something that we definitely want to do. I would love to have a much more involved relationship with the show creatively, whatever that would look like, and however I can get that to happen. I think there are certain people in the upper echelons of the creative tier on that show that are not on our side. There are certain people in some echelons of the creative structure of that show who are on our side. I can say that much.
What percentage?
I mean, Jesus. To know the percentage means I would have to know how many people are actually involved in all of that. And I don't exactly. There's some fuzzy areas around the edges of like, well, wait a minute, though. Who's making this decision and who's making this decision? But at any rate, a great question. And hopefully 2020 Gore will provide a little more influence from us into our beloved game. Are you ready for the next question, Pace Case?
Hey, Pace Case and Bachelor Clues. My name is Heidi, and my question for you is, if you could go back in time to the early seasons of Bachelor and Bachelorette, and say you were able to choose one player to coach who's already been in the game, who would you coach?
Such a good question.
It's a very simple answer, though.
I know who I thought of first. Mary Delgado.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Mary Delgado definitely would have been fun to coach. God, I don't know though. It's an interesting question. And I think that, yeah, Delgado maybe. Fuck.
Wait, coach for their season or for a new season?
I don't know. I think maybe coach for their season. It's hard when you think back to those early seasons because the game was so chaotic. Like the producers didn't know what was going on. They were inventing shit like group date roses and one-on-one roses, and the FIMP didn't come until Jesse Palmer gave the first FIMP. That should tell you something. Season 5. It didn't exist in the game.
Via his pants.
Yeah. Chris Harrison gave it to him outside the mansion and said, take this in there. This is the first impression rose. Now you're going to give this to whoever you want to. And he's like, thanks. And he just like tucks it into his belt and then hides it with his coat and walks in. I don't know. I mean, there were so many good players. And also, like, could I coach Leeds? I would have loved to have coached Charlie O'Connell. How much fun would that have been? Dude, you could do way more with pissing off Chris Harrison. You're the lead of the show. He can't do anything to you.
Lift him again.
Pick him up again. Yeah.
Lift him again.
Carry him like a little baby next time you see him. Carry him on your shoulders. Carry him like Luke did Yoda. There's so many players I would have liked to have coached, but Mary Delgado.
Like Luke did Yoda. Star Wars Returns.
God, could I have coached Jay Overby? Could I have made him the Bachelor instead of Byron Velvick? Who knows?
Ooh, that would have been a fun challenge.
Yeah, we could have changed the history.
Just through one episode.
I think I could have coached Gin-Gin to a hometown in Trista Sutter's first season. I bet I could have gotten him to a hometown.
Didn't Oh, no. He was like, I thought he was fourth place.
No, he was like, he was way deep down. But he was like funny. And he went against type, and so he kind of blew up on the internet, and that's why they made him a Bachelor, essentially. But yeah, there's a bunch. Delgado, I think, just for prestige alone, it's like thinking back about like baseball or something. It's like, what player in the you know heyday of 1920s baseball would you have liked to coach? Obviously, Babe Ruth. That would have been incredible.
I was thinking about like for a comeback.
Okay.
Come back onto Bachelor. Or do Golden Bachelor.
Well, can you imagine if like Delgado came into Golden? How old is Mary Delgado now?
That's what I'm saying. Like she would crush it.
She's 56.
Okay, she's almost there.
Almost there. But I think she might be married or something. I don't know. Byron Velvick is 59. He's right there. Could they bring Byron Velvick back? I think he's married too. I think all these people are probably like married and whatever, but. God damn. I would love to coach Mary Delgado for a Golden season, if that's possible, in the next 4 years, I guess.
Byron Velvick, that would be so weird.
Alex Michelle.
And they have them all. They just do all the things they did from his season, have them all live on the property.
You know who I would have loved to coach, actually? Shannon Oliver.
Yes.
From season one.
Now we're going to go off farther with your dog.
That would be a pleasure. because I think she, there was a lot left on the table.
You get down on the floor.
Yeah. That's just a straight season of dog play.
Gabby Windy style.
Yeah. It's her in a two-way mirror room watching players interact with her dog. That's night one. Anyway, an interesting question. Thank you very much for it. Let's move on, shall we, to the next question.
Hi, Lizzie. Hi, Chad. Heather here from little old Satsuma, Alabama. I want to know why you guys think that there is no Bachelor Games, no Winter Games or anything of that sort anymore. Thanks. Merry Christmas.
Pace Case here. Didn't they only do one Winter Games ever?
I think they did two seasons of it, didn't they?
No, one season.
Damn, there was only one season. Well, the answer in this case is quite simple. Ratings versus budget. So whatever it costs to fly all these players out, and I'm sure some of those players, maybe all those players were getting paid because it is like a Paradise format. Mm-hmm. And on Paradise, they all get paid. Everybody's negotiating their own per week rate or per day rate, whatever it may be. And so whatever the cost of Winter Games was to get all those players to the location, to pay them for however long they stayed in the show, did not warrant whatever the ratings were of that show. It was not a profitable expenditure for Warner Brothers, NZK, ABC, and therefore they do not renew your show. This is the same. This is true of any TV show.
And the Winter Games are only once every 4 years.
But I mean, they could have had it every winter, obviously. And now they have, you know, so many other shows. I think when they fire off like a Winter Games or a Love is Blind, Listen to Your Heart, when they do these kind of like offshoot things, Listen to Your Heart was also a weird one because it was during the pandemic and they had no other media to put on their airwaves. So they didn't really have a choice. But
that's, if you were to go back and be a producer, I would want to do Listen to Your Heart.
Oh my God.
And I would have recast and I would have put all of these veterans in.
I don't even, like, the casting to me wasn't bad. I liked the cast of Listen to Your Heart. It was the game itself. It was the construction of how that show worked that fucked it. Because you, if you had any of those players, or the same players that you had some real standouts. Remember fucking Natasha Bessas?
Danny fucking Padilla.
They just didn't have a good game. This idea that they had to come on stage and not only sing and dance, but like also while you're in your musical performance, you have to make us
show chemistry.
Understand that you're in a relationship. It just didn't fucking work. It should have been the romance shit is happening concurrently with the singing shit. And you use that to try and break apart relationships so that you can team up. You have to team up with somebody to do a musical duet. You have to do that every week, but it doesn't have to be the person you're romantically interested in. Then you get people who are romantically interested on one side, but oh shit, I'm way better musically with this other person. Is that going to break up the romantic relationship? Are you going to try to start a new one with this other person? It adds a whole layer of complications that don't exist otherwise. They just didn't do it right. They were very dumb in the way they constructed that, the mechanics of the game part of that show. And I think that's why it sucked, personally. Winter Games was different, though. Winter Games was more like a straight, you guys have to compete in these physical competitions against each other. It was more of a perfect matchy kind of vibe. It just didn't get the ratings. I mean, that's all there is to it. And I think that there's something in Bachelor, and this was true of Bachelor Pad as well, which had a money prize for the winners. Bachelor hits you over the head with 4TRR. That's what this is. People are here to find love. That's all it is. All this other shit is bullshit. If you're not here to find love, you're for the wrong reasons and you're fucking out of the game. If you have a mechanic in the concept of the fucking show itself, which Winter Games did, Love is Blind did, and Bachelor Pad did, the mechanic is 4TWR. You can't inject an underlying for the wrong reasons under a Bachelor premise, which is always for the right reasons, and have it still work. And that's kind of the Achilles heel of the Bachelor games, is you cannot have a 4TRR component of the game mechanics. You cannot. It doesn't work. It has never worked. It fails every time.
I got lost in Achilles.
Okay.
And then I was looking at pictures of Ashley and Kevin celebrating in Winter Games. Ben Higgins just kind of stood around.
Okay.
Mm.
Yeah.
Claire Crawley.
Yep, he did. He got his screen time and he got out. All right, let's move on, shall we, to our next question.
I recently discovered that one of the players from this most recent season of BIP lives in my building, and I've seen him a couple times now. And he seems cool. I want to be friends with him, but I feel like, I don't know, I feel like I would have to pretend to, I would have to pretend I don't know who he is, so that I don't know, am not just like being creepy fangirl, but let me know what would you do in this situation.
Say you're applying to the show.
Say you're applying to the show. Yeah, this is the we had another question just like this in our first mailbag episode. How do you approach, the basic question is, how do you approach a Bachelor player when you're somebody who's deep in the pit, when you have an extreme fandom of this show and all the players in it? How do you approach someone and not seem like a crazy person? The answer is always, you have to elevate yourself above fan. Oh yeah, I've been thinking about applying for the show, or I saw you on the season. I think it's okay to say, I saw you on the season and loved what you did. What are you up to now? Immediately pivot off of, I watched the show. You can say that as an initial, like, this is how I know you. And then immediately, what are you doing in this city? What's going on now? How's life been? And you pivot it right into just kind of a normal personal conversation, and you tamp down all of the dark energies of the pit that are screaming to come out of your body and do any kind of fan service to this person.
Definitely keep those screams down. No screams on a first meet. Maybe you bake up a bunch of pasta, real messy red spaghetti sauce, and then you're carrying it, and oopsie daisy, you run into each other.
That's kind of like an IFI.
It is. Yeah. A meet cute is an IFI.
Play an IFI. When you're in the laundry room of your building, pretend to fall down, hurt your ankle when you see the person coming, pretend to fall down the stairs, maybe incur a real injury.
Maybe it's their fault somehow.
Yeah, get some damage on you, blame it on them. Then they've got to come with you to the hospital.
Make them a little scared that you're going to see them.
No, don't do that. But this reminds me of when I was younger. I remember being at a party, and there was an actress at this party who played Meadow Soprano on The Sopranos. Do you know Jamie Lynn Sigler was her name?
Oh, yes.
And I was there with a friend, and my friend was like, oh my God, dude, I'm going to go talk to her. And I'm like, all right. And so I'm just kind of overhearing his conversation. And he walked up to her and he was like, hey, how's it going? And I'm like, oh Jesus, he's already like, this is going terribly already. Cause I can tell he's going to pretend like he doesn't know who she is.
No.
And this was when Sopranos was like, maybe it had just finished or something. It was like when Sopranos was still the biggest show on HBO within a couple of years.
Yeah.
And, he's like talking to her and he goes, hey, you know, my name's whatever, da 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 da. So what do you do? He says, so what do you do? And she just looks at him and goes, I'm an actress on The Sopranos, and then turned around and walked away.
That is such a power move. I love that response.
Like she had heard, it made me laugh so fucking hard. Just shot him down immediately, said, fuck you very much. And like literally turned her back to him and walked away. And it just, in that moment, I was like, yeah, you can't do that. Obviously, you know who she is. That's why you're talking to her. So the same, I think, applies here. Don't pretend like you don't know who they are. Say that you do know who they are because of this, and you loved what they did on that thing. In this case, Bachelor. Mm-hmm. I saw you in season whatever. You were fantastic. Maybe even say something about one single event they did. That group date was absolutely incredible.
Yeah, the thing with the cake.
Yeah. So what do you, and then what are you up to now?
Ideally, it's not about their broken engagement.
Yeah. Hopefully they didn't go far and get totally destroyed by the game. If they got wrecked by the game, keep it light. Keep it simple.
Loved what you did with that truth box. Something like that.
I've never seen a box smashed in such an entertaining way. If it is Aaron S. But yeah, it depends on kind of what they did in the season, I think. But if they got out of the season pretty unscathed, you can reference specific shit. If the season was bad to them, if they got a bad edit, just say, I loved you on that season. What are you doing now? What are you doing in my city? That's it. Because especially if they've moved there, you can also then be like, if they're like, oh, I just got to town, you know, just trying to get my thing. Exactly. You become the local tour guide. Oh, I know a great bar if you ever want to go get a drink. That's it. That's all you got
to
say.
That's a great way to, you know, offer some value. Show here's a coffee shop. There's a restaurant or whatever. But yeah, these are real human beings who are living their lives and you don't know them, and treat everybody with respect and, you know, respect their boundaries. Meadow Soprano, love that. Love that out. I'm going to say that. I'm an actress on The Sopranos, and then just exit conversations.
it was so great. She didn't even say, like, I'm one of the main characters or anything. It was just so perfectly good. Done. I'll never forget that moment. Thank you, Jamie Lynn Sigler. All right, let's move on. Are you ready for the next question?
Hey, Pace Casing Clues. This is Mackenzie. So this season of Bachelor in Paradise has been absolutely abysmal. And I got to think that the ratings, especially compared to Golden Bachelor, have to be a wake-up call for the powers that be, that some serious changes have got to be made. So I was curious to hear from both of you. Number one, what are your predictions for the changes that are actually going to be implemented on upcoming seasons, given, you know, all you know about production and their machinations and attitudes about things? And then number two, what do you wish change-wise would happen that production would actually take you up on? Personally, I wish it was more competition with like a money prize. So one, legally production couldn't be so controlling. But then two, it's a game. That's more fun. And then they're hot, so they'll hook up anyway. But anyways, love you guys. Bye.
Well, we kind of talked about this. It may be canceled. There may be no more Paradise. And I think if they don't do a season of Paradise this year, and it works, like if they get a fuckload of money because they're doing Bachelor, Golden Bachelor, Bachelorette, Golden Bachelorette, and those are their shows that they're running,
they won't go back.
Yeah. It ain't coming back ever. And I think this season, unfortunately, because it was so poorly produced, might be the nail in the coffin of Bachelor in Paradise. That said, what do I wish they would do? I don't think you can have a money prize. We just kind of talked about this. I don't think you can put a for the wrong reasons underpinning to that game and have it still work. What you need to do is, in my opinion, very simple. Make it not a torture chamber. You make it a resort that when they go there, the people are living comfortably. It is a fun vacation that you don't want to leave. When you have shit like Becca Serrano, she shows up. She feels she's imprisoned and she flees the scene. You don't ever want any player to be doing that. You want everyone coming there to be like, I need to stay here as long as possible because this is fucking fun. I love this. I don't want to go back to my normal life.
I might meet someone.
Exactly.
That's what I think you do. I think you make it more for TRR and I think a way to do that is location based. Mm-hmm. I think it's honestly such a huge obstacle that a lot of these relationships face, or people don't even pursue each other because they're from opposite sides of the country or something. I would maybe make it a little bit more localized so that people are dating people who they actually have a realistic chance of marrying.
I totally agree. I think you change it. I think it's not Bachelor in Paradise anymore. It's Bachelor in, and every season is different, whatever the city is. Bachelor in Dallas, Bachelor in, I mean, of course, I would start with Dallas, the source, obviously.
Or like
Bachelor in San Diego, Bachelor in whatever, you know.
West Coast.
Yeah, Bachelor West Coast. Great. And you find some nice resort in whatever these cities are. And
really nice.
That's what it is. And the dates aren't, let's make you a human churro and fucking Caesar creamy farts and all this shit. The dates are, like, if you're in Dallas, you send them out to fucking Reunion Tower and you have them go out to a nice dinner in a fucking cinematic, beautiful view.
Yeah, make Dallas look like the best city in the universe, and they're the hottest couple dating in the universe.
Yes. What it should be is you're giving these players who did not have a chance to shine in their seasons the ability to have their one-on-one dates, the ability to have that main character moment. And that's what we want to see. We all want to see that. We want them to have mm-hmm. these beautiful moments where they can fall in love just like they were supposed to on The Bachelor and didn't get a chance to. Instead, you've turned paradise into this thing that's like a torture yeah. chamber. You must survive. No one wants that. And none of the relationships lasted. The only relationship that came out of this last season wasn't even on fucking sand. It was Mandrell and Braden Bowers.
It was just a reel at the end. What a mistake. I mean, another yes. thing that I would do is I would
yeah.
pay Tyler Cameron, get some heavy hitters in there so that people are actually like, I want this person to be my husband.
Absolutely.
And I'm hoping that's a change that they'll implement for mm-hmm. Grazia Day, which I think they did for charity season, in that they elevated the lead. And I'm hoping yeah. that they're going to do that with Grazia Day. And we're just going to be gazing for days into those eyes.
It just doesn't, like, what Bachelor in Paradise became. In the beginning, it wasn't like that. In the beginning, it was kind of like the fun, flirty version of Bachelor. Yes, we're going to tell some jokes and it's going to be a little mm-hmm. lowbrow, but it wasn't like torture, you know? They did present it as like, you get to come to this amazing Mexican resort. That was a lie we found out ultimately around season 4-ish. It was like, wait a minute, they're all sleeping in fucking like bunk beds out on the beach and bugs are attacking them and all the shit. And that became like a part of the story, is like how hostile that environment was. That part has to change. It really needs to be like, oh my God, these people get to go experience this incredible thing where they get to date and go on these fantastic dates.
It's all the top people from the most recent seasons who you want to see in other relationships and date each other.
It's don't grind the players down. That's the main thing.
I mean, I wasn't on board with any. There was no couple that you're really rooting for in this. And they tried to tear down both of the couples that they had at the end.
Exactly. You have to take a page from Golden. The drama comes from the players you care about having to make hard decisions and getting kicked off or not. I want to see multiple mm-hmm. people falling in love with multiple people and having to decide like, shit, I have to break this person's heart. I don't want to see a fucking truth box. Jesus Christ.
Clues. A Mother's Day is coming up.
That's true.
You know, that's one of the most important holidays. We got to honor our mothers. They all went through a lot to get us here into this planet. And the gifts for Mother's Day, they can be a little predictable and boring. Sweaters, candles, the dreaded bathrobe. You only need one bathrobe, in my opinion. That's why Aura Frames is the perfect gift to mix things up this year. Named the best digital photo frame by Wirecutter, Aura Frames are guaranteed to bring joy to moms of all ages.
Aura Frames are Wi-Fi connected. They come with unlimited storage. You can share as many photos as you want from your phone to your mom's frame. Not only is she going to be grateful that it's not just another sweater for Mother's Day, she's also going to love that an Aura frame means she gets to see more of you. Or in my case, she gets to see more of my cat, Skaboolian. My mom loves seeing him rolling around, playing with his toys, doing whatever, and I can upload as many images of him as I want every day, and my mom gets to see them in her Aura frame and then text me about it for all the rest of the day. Right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Everybody listening to Game of Roses can save on that perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. That's AuraFrames.com. Use code ROSES at checkout to save. Terms and conditions apply.
Clues. I quit bras during the pandemic. I said, no more. They're not comfortable. I'm being comfy as a lifestyle. And I couldn't picture a bra that would exist that I would want to wear. But today's sponsor, Honeylove, has revolutionized the bra game. They don't have underwire, they don't have bulky fabrics, and they are so soft. Basically feels like a second skin, which is the only type of bra I will be wearing in the year of our gore, 2024. Mm-hmm. I got the crossover bra, the black runway one. It has this cute like mesh that adds, peekaboo mesh that adds this very sexy touch. So it's like, doesn't look like it's, you know, a comfortable bra, but it is. And
I guess I'm a bra person again, it turns out.
Well, congrats, Pace Case. I know it's a big step for you. Right now, you can treat yourself to the best bras on the market and save 20% off at honeylove.com/roses. Use that exclusive link to get 20% off honeylove.com/roses. After you purchase, they're going to ask you where you heard about them. Please support Game of Roses and tell them we sent you. Treat yourself to Honeylove because you deserve it.
Clues, you know I'm on my year of health, 2024. I'm trying to really focus on that. You know, I've got my career in order. I've got, you know, other aspects of my life, but I eat badly and I take care of myself badly. But that is changing now. I have discovered Lumi. Lumi is a game-changing whole-body deodorant designed by an OBGYN to work not only on pits, but also feet, privates, and everywhere else we get odor. I use their wipes. I use their, they have a traditional deodorant stick too, which I use, a lovely coconut smell about it. And no matter where you use it, Lumi is clinically proven to block odor all day long, all thanks to its one-of-a-kind pH-optimized formula. They have over 275,000 five-star reviews to show for it.
It's baking soda-free, it's paraben-free, it's pH-balanced for safe use below the belt, clinically proven to control odor better than a shower with soap alone. 12 hours after a shower, the average person has an odor level of 6 out of 10. Did you know that?
That's
a
disgusting.
High level. With Lumi, the average odor level is, guess what? 0 out of 10.
Yes.
Lumi's starter pack is perfect for new customers. It comes with a solid stick deodorant, cream tube deodorant, two free products of your choice. You could get mini body wash, you can get deodorant wipes, whatever you want, and free shipping. And as a special offer for everyone listening right now, new customers are going to get $5 off a Lumi starter pack with code ROSES at LumiDeodorant.com. That's L-U-M-E deodorant.com. That equates to over 40% off the starter pack when you visit LumiDeodorant.com and use that code ROSES.
It's simple. Just treat the players with respect. Treat the premise of the show with respect. That's all you have to do. And your paradise, your all-star season would work.
It's exactly. All-stars. It's not, you don't put in the Chiron, only narrator we could get.
Or the fucking red arrows of like, so, remember this person? Neither does anybody else. Well, then why am I watching them? There is just a blatant misunderstanding by the producers on that show of what your all-star show is supposed to be. They don't get it at all. They seemingly hate the players, and the entire construction of the show is set up to make their lives miserable for as long as for 2 weeks or however long you're fucking there. It's just not done well. That said, you know, we'll see if this reporting or these rumors, I guess, bear out that it's been canceled. If it has, I think it is dead forever, at least for a decade. I don't know why they would ever bring it back, especially if they're now going to have this formula of the two goldens and the two non-goldens. That's a whole year's worth of shit.
I mean, they can do an all-star of that show.
Exactly.
Golden Paradise.
Maybe. Yeah, maybe like the Golden Cruise or something. At any rate, we hope we've answered your question. Let's move on to the next one. Are you ready?
Hi, Pace Case, Bachelor Clues, and Dark Seeker. Happy holidays. I have a few questions. I'd be thrilled if you'd answer any of them. The first one is, Clues, I know you can't reveal who you've coached without consent, but can you tell us any fun, juicy, behind-the-scenes tales or tidbits, things you've coached about, things you've learned, any fun stories that we can have? Also, right now I work in the legal field, but I would be kind of interested in branching out into the entertainment, writing, TV industry someday. Do you have any advice? It sounds like you both have some horror stories as PAs. Also, I'm an X-Files girl. Speaking of aliens, what are your thoughts on the X-Files? Did you guys watch?
Three questions here. What were they? I don't even remember.
My memory is so bad. I was hoping you would.
Did we watch the X-Files? How do you become a TV writer? And what was the first one?
Oh, any fun tids of coaching people?
Fun tids of coaching. All right. Fun tids of coaching. What can I say? I can tell you this. Producers literally give scripts to people at the tell-alls in exchange for promised births into paradise that don't wind up happening sometimes. I can tell you that, God, I don't know. I just can't say much. Like, I can't say much without the things that I'm saying possibly revealing some of the players. But I can tell you that. Producers are, you know, we always talk about them being extremely Machiavellian. They are worse than even what we talk about. They dangle shit. They lie constantly. They do things purposely to sabotage players. I mean, like, actively, purposely, we are going to fuck this player over, and so we're doing this thing.
They're good at job, like, in certain ways.
Are they? I don't think that's good at job. Doing, like, an active, in my opinion, doing something that actively fucks over a player in the game is not good at job. What you want to do is set up situations that require players to interact with each other in interesting ways. That can be rivalry, that can be friendship, that can be anything. That's good producing. Bad producing, in my opinion, is when you say, we are going to set up this thing specifically to tank this player. Then they have no chance to play around it. And it looks malicious. It's weird. When a show gets overproduced, for example, I'll give you an example from 90 Day. There was an episode of 90 Day that just happened where the guy and the girl go into a sex shop. And the girl has, prior to this, admitted to him that she's bisexual. And he's like dealing with, oh, what does that mean for me? And whatever, whatever. So they're in the sex shop, and a person working at the sex shop, this woman, propositions them for a threesome. And you're watching this like, a producer fucking gave her the script. This is insane. It stands out like a sore thumb. And you're like, why would the producers do this to them? A complete stranger that has been paid by producers to say this shit to try and blow up this couple. And it just, it doesn't work. And I think that Bachelor has that same kind of problem, honestly. That's what I would say from players that I've coached in terms of, like, I mean, limo exits is a big one where you have to do wheeling and dealing and negotiations with the producers to get to do what you want to do. And sometimes you do, and sometimes you don't. And sometimes they're like, hey, we like your limo exit, but what if you did this one instead? We'll give you this if you do that. And then they don't give you the thing they promised you. There's a lot of, like, just open lies told to players about, like, if you do this thing for us, we'll do this thing for you. And then they never do the thing for you. And a million excuses about why they can't. So that is the one thing.
And there's NDAs.
Yeah, so. Exactly. There's nothing that can ever be said about it. That's the one thing I always tell players. And the thing that I'm really learning a lot about is, like, you simply can never trust anything a producer tells you, ever. Unfortunately.
Might depend on the producer.
Certainly. There are some producers who are, like, better than others. But just blanketly, you can't, because you don't know what producers are going to be nice to you. And that's an individual case-by-case basis, too. Sometimes a producer will take a liking to a certain player and not another player. And they might be a nice producer otherwise, but they're going to fuck this player over for sure. You know, you just don't know. It's hard. It's a hard game to play. That said, how do you become a TV writer, Pace Case?
Go do something crazy that you can brand as your hook to get in a room. Become a lawyer. Go live somewhere crazy. Be the most knowledgeable person about a certain subject, because then there's TV shows about everything, and they're always going to need somebody who knows a lot about that subject. The other way is, like, you know, trying to be a PA and writer's PA, writer's assistant, but I wouldn't do that. That's what I was doing. I wouldn't do that.
I think those days are done. That's like the super old network TV model. I kind of bypassed that. I wrote a book called The Average American Male, which got optioned as a TV show at Showtime by what was then George Clooney and Steven Soderbergh's production company. And that was the first TV show I ever sold. And I got a quick lesson in exactly how your material can be taken from you, rewritten by somebody else. Well, you have to just sit there and watch and turn into a horrible pile of shit and then never made. And you get paid pennies on the dollar.
But also, writing a book can be another angle in. The tier is dead. I know people who've spent so many years being script coordinators or writer's assistants and never getting that bump up to staff writer. I just can't, in good conscience, recommend it.
It really is, at this point, about, I think, depending on what you want to get into. If you want to get into, like, comedy writing, I would say start making funny shit on Instagram and TikTok. Get your numbers up. And I mean, that's like half the cast of Saturday Night Live right now is from that. I think that's the place to do it. And yeah, like Pace Case is saying, do something funny, do something interesting, get recognized for it, use that as your resume, and the doors will open. Mm-hmm. Then the third part of this question, aka the third question within this question, did you watch X-Files?
No.
I did. Every episode. Loved it, as you might imagine.
I think I've seen the movies.
Okay. There were two movies, right? Or one movie. I think there was one movie.
I know I saw one movie like back when I lived in Connecticut as a kid.
Yeah. I love the X-Files. It was obviously on for many, many seasons. It was about these two FBI agents who worked on, in quotes, the X-Files. Started out as kind of a monster of the week show where they would go investigate a chupacabra and a werewolf and this and that. And over the course of many seasons, it became like a real season long arc type of show that was more about this big government conspiracy about a coming alien invasion and the U.S. government working with aliens without people knowing to kind of like.
And you liked that?
Oh, I love that because I think that's really happening. Let's move on to our next question. Are you ready, Pace Case?
But also, isn't there a big will they, won't they tension?
Yeah, that's kind of what the whole thing was hinged on, will they, won't they. Mm-hmm. And they didn't? I don't remember if they ever did or
I
didn't.
I feel like they did.
I think they did not. Because she got pregnant at one point with somebody else's baby, but then it turned out to be an alien and all this shit. Remember that?
I didn't watch it.
Oh.
Right, I'm like, wait, sorry. I don't remember that.
Okay, let's move on to our next question. Here we go.
Hello, Bachelor Clues, Pace Case, and Dark Seeker. I'm coming to you from the hockey rink in beautiful British Columbia, Canada. My name is Marilyn. I'm a teacher librarian, and I also scorekeep hockey part-time. I just want to say I love the show, and your Patreon is much-watched TV. So I have a couple of questions that are a little bit related to hockey and a little bit related to Bachelor Nation. So question one is, why don't you talk about hockey when you mention sports or the game aspect of Bachelor? There are definitely hero and villain players, PTCs, you name it, and stats galore. And related to that, have you ever tried a simulation using AI? Or is that possible yet? I ask because players complain about penalties all the time. And it'd be interesting to run a simulation of a hockey game and see how many penalties would be called. And as this relates to Bachelor Nation, it would be interesting to see who AI would predict would win each season. Would love to hear what you think. Thanks again for all you do. Love you.
Interesting question. I would say the reason we don't bring up hockey is because of the two of us, I'm the only one who talks about other sports outside of Bachelor. And I never played hockey. I've never really gotten into it. But all the other sports, I would say the American sports, even though hockey is played in America, I consider it more a Canadian sport. But basketball, football, baseball, I know much more about these. I played many of them. But my apologies for not including hockey. I know that it is just as important as the other major sports. I just don't know enough about it to ever talk intelligently about it. So I don't bring it up.
All of these weird gambling things in Minnesota, the proceeds often benefit the local hockey teams.
Have you ever ice skated?
Yes.
Are you good at it?
I'm okay.
Nice. I did it once. I was terrible. I don't like being cold and I don't like wearing restrictive shoes.
I don't like falling.
Yeah, falling too.
I like skiing.
The other question here is about AI and running simulations for a hockey game. Has that been done? Probably. I know there's some talk right now in like the NFL specifically, but other sports, I guess this would apply to as well. Will AI be allowed on the sidelines?
To play sports.
Well, not to play sports, but to do like play calling. Like if you're an NFL coach, for example, and you know what defenses the other team is running and shit, you could use an AI to be like, what play should we call here against this defense? Or what play should we call on defense against this offense that they're running? These players are on the field with these certain conditions. And you can get all these statistical variables and an AI can look at that and be like, this is your best shot for a touchdown or a 4-yard gain or whatever it may be.
That's a deflated football.
Is it a deflated football? I don't know. If everybody has AI, if everybody can use it, It's not really cheating. It's just a tool.
Drones that are flying around that look like bugs that are recording the plays.
Something like that. I mean, I think that's how broadcasts will happen. I don't think you'll have like human beings running cameras. That's probably like 5 years out. Anybody who's a camera operator, sorry. That's going to be gone.
Clues is not right in all of his predictions. Let me just say, he predicted that Dale Moss and Claire Crawley were going to get married within the first three episodes of Claire Crawley's season.
And in an alternate universe, that did happen.
You didn't predict it, right? In this universe, I'm just saying, all of the people you say that are going to lose their jobs might not lose their jobs.
That one's right, though. Camera operators is right. Sorry. I mean, it is. You're going to have drones doing all camera work. Period. Anyways.
I mean, I would love a drone to do my camera work. My phone is so heavy.
You're going to have one. Everything is going to be recorded 24 hours a day. That is, I mean, it's already kind of happening. What we're seeing with, I mean, I know this wasn't part of the question. My apologies, but now I've got started, so I have to finish. There is what's happening now.
You pulled the string.
You pulled the string.
Woody's going to talk.
That's right. And now he's going to talk about wearable devices. What you're about to see in the very near future is everybody wearing glasses. That's coming in the next couple of years as well. As AR technology and what you're seeing with Meta's Ray-Bans, I got a pair of those. It's interesting. It's not quite there yet, but you can like listen to Spotify on them. So you're just wearing little glasses and you tell it to play your Spotify song and it plays it right into your ears. You can also record video, take pictures. Eventually, those glasses are also going to have heads-up displays in them.
With your brain?
No, they have little buttons on them. You just touch them. But it could eventually be with your brain. But also, you're going to have in the lenses eventually essentially like readouts that are laid over the world you're looking at so that you can see how much things cost or what someone's name is, et cetera, et cetera.
Snorlax can hang out with me.
Yes, Snorlax will be hanging out with you for sure. That's okay. All coming.
Then technology is good.
Some of it is. I mean, technology is inert. It's how you use it and what are your motivations for using it. The people are the ones who are not even good and bad either. I don't believe people are good or bad. I don't really believe in good and evil. Let's get real here. This question was about hockey simulations. How did we get here? My apologies.
I think most people are good.
I think everyone is a mixture of selfish and altruistic motivations, neither good nor bad. Let's now move on to the next question, shall we?
Hi, Pace Case and Bachelor Clues. My name is Eugenia, and my twin sister, Emmy, has a podcast called The Emmy Awards, where she talks about TV and reality TV. And as our favorite podcast hosts and just inspirations for both of us in general, Pace Case, Emmy loves the HBO Lax podcast. That's been a huge inspiration to her, as well as Game of Roses. I was just wondering if you guys had any advice for her on how you guys grew the podcast or any words of encouragement. I'm really proud of her. We both really love you guys, and any kind of advice or guidance you could give as our like North Star podcast would be so great. Love you. Happy holidays. Thank you so, so much for all the work you do in the podcast.
Oh my God, I'm going to cry. So sweet.
Yeah, it was very nice. I've never been described as anyone's North Star, but
I have.
The North Star. Was it a North Star? Morning Star. Do you know what the Morning Star is?
A bird?
Satan. That's Satan's nickname.
You surprise me every day, Clues.
That's just knowledge. I mean, I didn't make that up.
I know, but the things in your beautiful mind that pop out.
You know, there was a thing where Elon Musk was in some interview and he was talking about, he was like, "In my mind is like a storm. I don't think people want to be in my mind." And I was like, dude, I get that.
I mean, I get that too, but in a different way.
What kind of storm is your mind? Mine's like a hurricane. Okay, let's boil this down here.
Focus.
How to do a good podcast. The number one piece of advice I would give you, what helped us out immensely, was you got to go on Chatty Broads.
Yeah, that would be mainly the thing I would do, is go on Chatty Broads.
Light up your Chatty Broads appearance.
It doesn't exist anymore. Right.
First, build a time machine.
However, your mom and dad podcast, and we're still following Becca on all the socials.
You're going to go to MIT, get into theoretical physics.
But yeah, if you know anyone with a platform, you get them on your podcast, go on their podcast. And I would say the thing that you kind of, you know, always drive home is like volume. If you just make enough of something, it's going to you're going to have put in the hours where it's going to be good.
Volume, confidence, always believe that the thing you're doing is the best fucking thing that has ever been done. You may know objectively that is not true, but fucking make yourself feel that it is, and it will become good. Also, I would say heavy scrutiny. If you're not editing your own podcast, do that. Go back and listen to everything you say in everything that you do. How can I make this better? How can I fine tune this? How can I do something different? And don't be afraid to experiment. Change the formula up. If you want to grow it, right now, this is true not just of podcasts, but of any media. There's just so much of everything out there. It's a sea of videos on YouTube. It's a sea of podcasts on iTunes. It's a sea of every piece of media you can imagine. You have to cut through that. You got to get people's attention. So whatever your specific niche is, whatever you're talking about, pop culture, whatever, look at the podcasts in the same category as you. What are they doing good? What are they doing bad? The shit they're doing good, emulate it. The shit they're doing bad, do something better. That's kind of like really what we started out doing in the very beginning. We were like, let's do a Bachelor podcast. I just listened to every Bachelor podcast again and again and again and again and again. And I was like, this one's fucking hilarious. This one's a piece of shit. This one's really good, but it has some bad things. And I kind of looked at what could we do better than these podcasts or different or unique in our specific voices. And we kind of went from there. But yeah, my best advice is like, keep doing it as much as you can. Every repetition you do, you will get better. And don't be afraid to change things up. In fact, especially in the beginning, you should be changing things up almost constantly to see what works, what's funny, what feels good to you. And in the end, also, I know this is cliche as fuck, but it's true.
Get on TikTok.
Yeah, get on TikTok. No, have fun. Like whatever is making you laugh and have the most fun while you're doing your podcast, that's going to translate to anyone listening to it too. I know the podcast that I like, it's like, I feel like it's fun to hang out with these people and just listen to them talk. And it's because those people are having fun usually.
Yeah, I feel like when we're having fun, it's our most fun podcast also for the most part.
Yeah, absolutely. But yeah, I hope that advice helps. I do love podcasting. I think it's like, of all the art forms that I have, you know, dabbled in over the course of my life, it's definitely one of my favorites because it's just so freeing and like creatively you could do whatever the fuck you want. I love that element of it.
Yeah, it's so creative. The barrier to entry is very low monetarily. You will need another job. You will not make money for a long time. That's another thing to know.
That is true. Yeah. Yeah, I definitely will never give the advice, quit your day job and go full-time podcast. It might take a minute to like monetize it at a level that's, you know, supportable, I guess. But yeah, my main advice is just keep doing it. Really scrutinize what you're doing. Look, every time you put out a new episode, look for a way to make it better than the last one. And if you can do that every time, eventually you got the best podcast in the world.
Get advice from people that you trust in that field.
That too, yeah. Fantastic question. All right, are you ready to move on to the next question?
Yes.
Here we go.
Dark Seeker here coming at you with a Bachelor alternate universe that I want you to ponder. What if Hannah Brown picked Pilot Pete and they were successful? What would that mean for Tyler, Jed, who would become, you know, the next Bachelor? Would Sweetenums have an official Bachelor Nation podcast? Would she be added to Clickbait? Would Clickbait still be alive because she would be added as one of the hosts? Like, what would Bachelor Nation look like today if she had picked Pilot Pete instead of Jed?
Dark Seeker slipping in a question. Hello. I love this. God, this is something I've literally never thought about. Have you ever thought of this?
No.
The possibility of this. Holy shit.
No.
Okay.
Because it's hard to imagine that Tyler would have done Bachelor anyway. They wanted Tyler, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah. I still don't think he's Bachelor. Like, he's had that conversation. He's been in those negotiations and they never met his money. Jed? Luke Parker as the Bachelor? Can you imagine that? Like,
well,
oh shit.
I mean, they would have edited it differently. So that's like part of it.
Yeah. But it's Jed let's say, I think it's, yeah, they would have cut it differently. And I don't think all the shit about Jed would have come out that he was cheating and stuff, because it wouldn't have mattered that he didn't get engaged.
Yeah, they might have re-edited Jed. What if they just go Mike Johnson, fuck it.
Oh my God. So you've got a Mike Johnson season of The Bachelor with Sluss, Pruitt, Victoria Fuller. That whole season is Mike Johnson.
Oh.
How does Mike Johnson handle finding out that Victoria Fuller had some kind of romantic relationship with Chase Rice after that one-on-one day? How does Jed Wyatt handle it? Imagine Jed Wyatt on the fucking date with Chase Rice, where he's fanboying even harder than Pilot Pete did over Chase Rice, and then he has to find out that Victoria Fuller had some
kind of... Chase Rice, the singer?
Is that your Jed Wyatt?
That's me doing Jesus. Jed, finding out that...
What happened to Jed in your alternate reality? He got hit by a buzz?
In my way, this is how Jed talks. My wrist and right, girl.
You're Mr. Right, girl. I would love to see a Jed Wyatt Bachelor season, but also this other part of this question is kind of like, what becomes of them as a couple? If you're looking at a Hannah Brown and Pilot Pete, who would now probably be married and maybe even have a kid, I could see that couple actually working.
I could see them, yeah. Honestly. I could too.
I can see Sweet Nums and Hannah Brown palling around. I can see the social media coming out of that.
Oh my God.
I can see them doing like twinning kind of shit. I can see this. I can see this very clearly, actually. It doesn't seem like that,
yes,
that far-fetched to me. She's married now or no? She's engaged to that guy, to the civilian.
Engaged. I ain't seen no white dress yet. I better see it.
Yeah. The Hannah Brown wedding is going to be insane, by the way, whenever that happens. I forget that guy's name she's engaged to. But yeah, that's an interesting question.
Hashtag worth the wait.
Can you imagine, you remember when Sweet Nums and Jet and Jack came to our now infamous Barnes & Noble, The Grove book signing / Trail of Tears /
Would she have come if it was Popeye?
Yeah, if she had come during that, would Popeye and Hannah Brown have come?
Would we have even gotten kicked out of the Grove if we had Hannah Brown?
Would they still be living in L.A.? Would the Beast still be an icon? Exactly. They could have thrown their weight around. Do you know who this is?
She could have her bodyguard take him.
Yeah. An interesting question. I don't know. I don't know what that would look like, honestly. It would be a kinder, gentler Bachelor Nation, though, I think. I think that coupling would have had kind of a galvanizing effect of the nation.
Hannah and Popeye.
Yes, because Hannah Brown's season ended in disaster. The guy she chose had these cheating rumors. She throws the ring back in his face. Then the Popeye season also ends in disaster with this. I chose Hannah Sluss, but she's throwing the ring back in my face. And now Madison Pruitt's here and my mom is getting in an argument with her after the final rose. It just all was like both of those seasons were kind of disastrous endings. If it had wound up that she chose Pilot Pete, they become engaged and are now married, you have a whole era of like a really big, beautiful success story to kind of be the most important thing that happened even over the course of the bubble seasons. Instead, what you've got is just a cascading effect of bad endings that have really been every season except Zach Shallcross's, which was cut in such a way that we didn't give a fuck about any of those players anyway.
Maybe Hannah Brown would have been able to stop COVID if she had picked Popeye.
You think that kicks us into a different timeline where COVID doesn't exist?
I don't know. Those vibes could have helped.
You're right. That's the answer, Dark Seeker. If it had happened, no COVID. Let's move on. I believe we have one more question, and let's get to it. Here we go.
It's Seeker again. Would you rather have all songs... like ever in all of history be sung by Pitbull, Mr. Worldwide, or would you rather have all artists in the world only be able to perform one Pitbull song, which you can pick in this would you rather scenario, and they would just do their own cover interpretations of it, but there would only be one song that would exist? Let me know.
All right. Rounding out with a non-Bachelor related question from Dark Seeker about Pitbull. I have to say, I don't know any of Pitbull's songs. I only know what he looks like.
I know you want me. I know you want me.
Okay, and the question is Pitbull the only artist, or...
Give me everything tonight.
Do all artists have to sing one Pitbull song? Is that the question?
I'm yelling timber. Yeah, they can only sing one of his songs. But here's the thing. A cover you could do anyway. You get a lot of flexibility there.
Yeah.
I think you probably want that more than one musician.
Yeah, I mean, where does AI fit into this? Can AI make music still? That's where we're headed anyway.
I'm just not seeing like where AI is going to fit into this question, so I'm not going to answer it.
Listen, I mean, I know we've talked a little bit about AI on this very show. In terms of music production, everyone's going to be using AI. And I think within the next couple of years, we're going to start seeing like top 40 songs that are completely AI.
Happy Pitmas.
Get ready for that.
I think we will, because it'll be like Baby Shark. I think some of them already are kind of AI.
Yeah. I've been making some AI music. It's pretty interesting. It's just like there's no time required for it. You literally type in like some lyrics and a genre. Ding, song. It's incredible.
Are you putting it under the show?
Not yet. Maybe we'll come
really
back
low
to that.
Volume.
Yeah, I need a 1 hour dark wave synth song for my Bachelor podcast. I don't know about this question. I'm going to go with Pitbull's the only musical artist.
Interesting.
And every other musical artist is AI. So Pitbull's the only human artist
okay.
left, and he's fighting against AI musicians and music producers for relevance in the new world.
Dang. I guess that's one way.
You would go the other way, though. You want all musical artists to sing Pitbull.
To sing one song, but then you get to hear it a lot of different ways.
And some of the covers could just be like...
As opposed to Pitbull, who you think can only really do one. But I guess you're right. He could do AI and sound like anyone.
In your world, we get to a point where artists are like, this is my cover of Pitbull's whatever. And then it's just not that song. They just title it that and they say it's a cover, but it's their own original music.
Exactly.
Okay. Understood. Well, there you have it. We've answered the hard-hitting questions. Thank you, everybody, for submitting all of these great questions. We hope that you're having a great holiday season. We're going to be back in this new year with some very exciting stuff. You're definitely going to want to tune into our January 5th episode. Let me just say that. You're not gonna wanna miss it.
You're never gonna forget January 5th.
That's right. So thank you once again, everyone. And before we go, as always, what is that dwob at?
It's been 7,950 days without an Asian bachelor. Praise be Dark Lord Palmer.
Please rate this podcast. Please review this podcast. Please get a friend to listen to us. And then please rate this podcast. Please review this podcast. Please get a friend to listen to us. And then please rate this podcast. Please review this podcast. Please get a friend to listen to us. And then. Creams and serums are made of 70% water, 15% preservatives and emulsifiers, leaving only around 15% for the active ingredients that your skin needs. But luckily now, there's Fiber Skincare.
15 years ago, the scientists behind Fiber Skincare started working on nanofibers, which are 500 times smaller than human hair. You know, I saw that in 3 Body Problem. Mm. 1 year ago, they patented a way of wrapping the nanofiber around oil or liquid-based ingredients. This means they can deliver 5 times the active ingredients compared to creams or serums, as there is no need for water, preservatives, or emulsifiers.
The first formulation made with this technology is plant-based, anti-wrinkle. It's a set of patches that you use over a series of 7 days. You just put these on whenever you would apply your serums, and your skin is going to feel tighter in 10 seconds. And over the 7-day program, It has been clinically proven to reduce wrinkles by, get this, 19.4%, a very precise percentage. In fact, they have a tighter skin guarantee. If your skin isn't tighter in 7 days, they're going to give you your money back, no questions asked.
You get the tighter skin guarantee with this 7-day routine. Tighter skin or your money back. Get a 15% discount code by using the discount code GAME. That's Fiber Skincare.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.